I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to Achtung Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to another special edition of Achtung Law, a Christmas edition, I suppose you'd call it. Welcome to this pre-Christmas Wednesday afternoon, 23rd of December. I'm just looking at some odds and sods of Millwall news to share with you. You've probably picked up all this off of the social media already, so I dare say you don't particularly need my view on it, but nevertheless, that's the point and purpose of the podcast, isn't it? News today, this afternoon, that Tottenham are expected to terminate Troy Parrott's season-long loan at Millwall, according to a source, Football Insider, and that's reported by Jake Sanders and by Lucas Ball. Jake says here that source is usually fairly reliable. So Troy Parrott signed with much fanfare on loan for the season back in the summer months to go back to Spurs in January. If you look at it with the cold eyes of the football manager, dear listener, I think probably it makes sense. The boy isn't getting the starts that he will need to develop his career. As I put on Twitter, I think he's a talented player, clearly got talent. There are areas of his game that will need to develop. He doesn't track back probably enough for, you know, the hardened eye of Gary Rowett, I would imagine. Plus, with the advent of the Bodvarsson and Bradshaw partnership up front and the hopefully imminent return to fitness of Kenneth Zahor, his place in the pecking order is moving rapidly downwards, and that's no good for him. No good for Spurs, because they've loaned him to us with the expectation, and probably we all joined in this, didn't we, that he would be a regular first team pick. And that hasn't come to pass. The injury did to him early in the season didn't help his cause, of course. So just a few starts for Troy Parrott. And looks like the story at the Den is not going to be another repeat of Harry Kane. He's going to go back to Spurs and probably out on loan to some other club where, as others have posted online, I have to join in with it. He'll probably hit 10 or 12 goals for somebody else and power them towards a promotion push. But it won't be for Millwall, it seems. So thank you to Troy Parrott, Republic of Ireland international, a player of some talent, but that talent will not be exploited at Zampa Road, dear listeners, as he looks likely to go back to Spurs imminently. A factor, I imagine, must be the current delay in Millwall fixtures due to COVID. Just looking at the London News Online, formerly known as the South London Press. I think I preferred it when it had that more homely name, but London News Online it is, who report that Mill's next two championship fixtures. Bizarrely, if you click on the story, which is about COVID-19, so the fixtures are being delayed by COVID-19, I get a funeral advert. I don't know if that's being tailored to my age group. What do you think, dear listeners? I went to the story and it gives me a tailored advert advertising funeral services, so cheered me up no end, that is. Anyway, the story is that Millwall's two championship fixtures, next two fixtures, have been delayed due to positive COVID-19 tests within the squad. The Lions had been set to face AFC Bournemouth, of course, on Boxing Day, and then controversially, and we'll link back to this shortly, to host Watford, due to be live on Sky Sports 3 days afterwards. The Mill will not now be in action before their home game against Coventry on January the 2nd. An official statement from the Lions say that individuals who have tested positive and their close contacts are observing a period of self-isolation, and the club can't therefore currently take part in the upcoming fixtures. In a way, I mean, that the pace, the relentless pace of the season, which has this kind of underlying distortion of trying to play regular football in the midst of a pandemic, has it's all been very, very odd. And it just adds yet more weirdness to the season, listeners, doesn't it? As it is, it's probably to our advantage. It does give more time for recovery after a very, very hectic period on the pitch. And it also raises questions as to Troy Parrott's future come January the 1st. So a period of rest and recuperation for the Lions, much needed, as we've said, after that recent 1-1 draw against Forest. A chance to take stock for players to rebuild some, you know, levels of fitness. In other news regarding loans, a good story, in my opinion. Lions are recalling Danny McNamara from a loan period at St Johnstone up in Scotland under Callum Davidson, former assistant to Gary Rowett. Is being recalled. James Brown is heading upwards to Scotland for the second half of the Premiership season up there. Danny McNamara, 21-year-old, has made 18 league appearances north of the border and has been ever-present in that competition for Callum Davidson's side. He's a Republic of Ireland under-21 international, which I hadn't realised. He's now coming back and will provide competition with Marlon Romeo for the right-back position. The Lions intend to send James Brown to St Johnstone, having previously had loan spells with Carlisle, Lincoln City and in Scotland with Livingston. A player to keep track of, which I keep reading rave reports about, is one Isaac Alofe, who is playing, I believe, for Sutton United at the moment. You know, we haven't exactly looked on fire going forwards. Maybe that's going to change with the return of some of the injured players and now this newfound, you know, are we overplaying it? Gold partnership of B&B, of Bob Varson and Bradshaw. Let's try and look for the positive. A partnership that has looked bright in the couple of times that we've seen it. Let's hope that will continue. The return of Kenneth Zohor looked pretty good when we saw him earlier on in the season before he got injured. Perhaps that means that we've got some more fire and energy going forwards. I'd like to see Isaac come back, whether in January or at the end of the season. He seems to be a player of some promise. I know he's only doing it in the National League, but goals scored are goals scored at whatever level you're playing at. We shall see, dear listeners, shan't we? And finally, in this little melange of news, whilst we're in our Christmas mode, the club have achieved an apology from Sky Sports for the unfair and biased and frankly appalling coverage given to the Lions on the occasion of the Mill QPR fixture recently. You all saw it. You don't need me to tell you how one-sided that was, how Sky were looking to aggravate an already sensitive situation with their coverage. The club have picked them up on it. So well done to Mill Football Club. Not enough teams do this. The almighty Sky have their contract with the EFL. The EFL really didn't want to see Mill actually go head-to-head in a case they probably couldn't have won by denying Sky access to the Watford game, the originally scheduled Watford game just after Christmas. We couldn't have won that legally. Let's not be, you know, unrealistic. But I think the mere fact that we've gone back at them, the EFL have mediated this agreement, an apology has been made, publicised by the Millwall side. You won't see this on the Sky Sports side. Don't expect it. You know, we have to be, that word again, realistic. But I think it's an achievement by the Lions to get this out of Sky Television. The official statement states Mill Football Club can confirm that it has held positive and progressive talks with Sky Sports following a comprehensive and detailed complaint regarding the broadcaster's coverage of its fixture against QPR earlier this month. In meetings mediated by the EFL, so the EFL have been dragged into this as mediators. Good, that's what they're there for. They might not have much time for us, but they have a function, and this is it. Mediated by the EFL, Sky Sports have acknowledged that certain elements of the coverage on the day during their on-air discussion pre-match and the following day were not as fair and balanced as they should have been. They were biased, but that club can't say that. And they've apologised. Mill Football Club has accepted that apology and considers this issue now closed. Mill hopes for a more mutually beneficial relationship with Sky Sports moving forward, and no further comment will be made. I can guarantee you one thing, dear listeners, plenty of comment will be made when Sky Sports appear next at the Den, because the Lions fans have long memories, and we do remember who knocks our club in times of stress, and we come together on that front. That's one good thing that's come out of this recent period, is the coming together of club and fans once again. We're at our best when we fight together against the world that really doesn't want us to be in existence. So good to see. Well done, Millwall Football Club. And let's see when Sky Television next come down the Den. That's going to be an interesting game, dear listeners, isn't it? And just as an aside, a non-Millwall story perhaps, although it does link in with the derby and then the QPR fallout. I was interested to see a story on skysports.com. Sky and Kick It Out, the long-running anti-racism charity campaigning organisation that's been working in football for many, many years. Sky and Kick It Out formed a partnership to fight racism and discrimination. Sky will provide the organisation with £3 million of funding over 3 years. It has partnered with Kick It Out on the Take a Stand initiative launched during England's game against Belgium in October. So support for Kick It Out, which is the group that was put on the shirts at the QPR game, contrasting with the Black Lives Matter slogan, organisation, whatever you where you want to you view it. So there we are. How that links in with us, I don't know. I don't know anyone's going to be able to say that. But certainly support for an anti-racism group can only be a good thing, in my opinion. And by hook or by crook, however we get there, in the end, we get there. So that's all that I'm going to say on that particular matter.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Acton Millwall.
So we're going to move along now. I thought I'd put out this show with the little odds and sods, doing it single-handed, as you can hear. Chaps are all on holiday break. They've all got to get horribly influenced by alcohol, things like that. So I thought I'd just put out a solo album, a bit like just me and my guitar, but not quite. So I thought I'd revive, the old random fixture routine, which is always a popular one. And the random year selected by random.org is 1891, long, long time ago. Now, bear in mind that the club itself was only formed in 1885. And this match report that I found from the 23rd of December, 1891, in the Sporting Life, is 1891. So just 6 years after the formation of Millwall Rovers, now called Millwall Athletic. And it's a game against Millwall Athletic versus the Second Scots Guards. Now, I couldn't find this fixture in the complete record, Richard Lindsay's complete record. It doesn't really start until 1894 in league terms. I don't think we were playing league football of any kind at this point. I've had a quick look in the James Murray Lions of the South book, and largely speaking, in 1891, December 1891, Millwall Athletic would have been playing cup games, various cup competitions. I think this may be the Luton Senior Cup or Luton Charity Cup. Can't quite make out which is the correct title. It could be Luton Charity Cup. It could be Luton Senior Cup. Luton as in L-U-T-O-N. A fixture against the 2nd Scots Guards, an army unit. And there's a match report, which I thought I'd just read to you, because I love these old newspapers. As you know, this is from the British Newspaper Archive, a wonderful, wonderful site, which I subscribe to. It's wonderful stuff. And we're going to come on after the football part of the conversation on, as it's Christmas, to a dark deed done on the Isle of Dogs at the same time as this particular match played at East Ferry Road. Nowadays, that would be the site of the Asda supermarket by Cross Harbour. I know a lot of our listeners work in Connecticut, work in normal times, shall we say, when work existed, and you know, you go on public transport, things of that kind. A lot working in and around Canary Wharf. Well, the old Mill Football Ground, the Athletic Ground, East Ferry Road, is the where the site of the Asda is. There's no trace of it left. But that, I always find it quite a weird thought whenever I go past it. So this game, Millwall Athletic versus the 2nd Scots Guards, written in old style. So I'm going to go with it because I think we can handle that, listeners, don't you? So it begins, notwithstanding, which is always a great word. You don't really use it in real life, but only in legalese, but they've used it in this newspaper report. Notwithstanding the big counter-attraction, viz. The Preston North End versus Royal Arsenal game at Plumstead, which naturally largely affected the gate at the Millwall Ground, East Ferry Road, on Saturday. Fully 1,300 spectators assembled to witness the match between the above two teams, Millwall versus the 2nd Scots. From the start, the home team manifested a decided superiority, the combined play of Gloak and Withington on the left being quite a treat to witness, whilst Butter, the captain, Banks and McCulloch were also in exceptionally good form. The attack on the Scots stronghold at length resulted in a goal, which Glosk secured from a corner, and shortly afterwards Jones headed the ball through off another kick by Gloak, the score at half-time being 2-2 in favour of Millwall, 2-0 at half-time. On crossing over the ballast, that's a new word. I'm crossing over the ball as before. Sorry, misread that. Crossing over the ball as before. The print in some of these old scans isn't always easy to follow. On crossing over the ball as before was nearly always in the 2nd Scots territory. And after some very rapid play, Banks, Jones and Withington each scored a goal. And the match resulted in an easy win for Millwall by 5-0. The linesman was from the 2nd Scots Guards, R. McCall and T. Willing of Millwall Athletic. And the referee was nominated by Tottenham Hotspur, Mr. S. R. Carr. The Millwall team in goal, O'Kagel. Owen Kagel was a great name of the club, I believe he used to produce the match day programmes or a card. Kagel's Correct Cards, they were called. And they were like single page prints of the team sheets with adverts. Wonderful things if you ever get a chance to see them. So Kagel was in goal, and you've got Lindsay and Earl as the backs. Thompson, Harry Butler, captain, and Fenton, halfbacks. Peter McCulloch and E. Jones on the right. Peter Banks, centre. F. Withington and David Gloak on the left. The 2nd Scots Guard were all military. Private Wood in goal. Sergeant Lees and Lieutenant Lowther, the backs. Privates Etterson, Morley and Whittle. Halfbacks, Private Wilson, Private McEwen on the right, Private McElhaney in the centre, and Privates Rawcliffe and Islop on the left. As I say, at this time, Millwall Athletic were not in any league, so it was largely speaking friendly games and cup games. Now, if anyone is old enough, like me, to remember the old rugby union scores that used to go for on grandstand when the I'm going back a long time, so younger listeners can probably wonder what on earth I'm on about now. But when Grandstand used to show the football scores, you used to get like a rolling screen. And if anyone remembers back to those times, they'd have to mix them up with rugby union scores. And in a similar way, in this era of amateurism in rugby union, a lot of the games were just friendly games. There was no league system in rugby union at that point. That evolved later. And in that way, at this time in association football, 1891, it was the same. So friendly games, and I think this was a cup game, as I say. I think this is the Luton Senior or Charity Cup, whichever is the correct title, I don't know.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Now, when you search on the British newspaper archive, and I'm going to go off football slightly, it does relate to Millwall, and it does relate to one or two Millwall-related places and people. But whenever you do a search, obviously I'll search under Millwall, it produces other reports, and I find it utterly, utterly fascinating to see what else pops up when you select a name of Millwall, but also go to a particular year, date and day. And one of the other reports that caught my eye, and I thought I'm going to use this because it is Christmas and there's not much in the way of football at the moment other than the loss of various players and so on to catch our attention. But I thought I'm going to mention this particular report. As odd as it sounds, it's from the South Wales Daily News. And it's this report is dated Friday, December the 11th, so shortly before the Millwall 5 Scots Guards nil game that we've just mentioned. This is reported outside of London. And the reason for that is that one of the gentlemen involved, in fact, the victim of a stabbing at the Millwall docks was a man from South Wales, Tredegar, to be precise. And the report goes that on Thursday, Mr. Wynne Baxter, the coroner for London, held an inquiry at the Poplar Town Hall respecting the death of one Frederick Swain, aged 30, a fireman on the steamship John Bright, lately residing in Tredegar in South Wales, who was killed during an affray which took place yesterday morning. So this would be 10th of December, 1891. An affray which took place between some English and some foreign seamen outside the Mirrell Dock. I imagine that Frederick Swain might have described himself as a Welshman if he's living in Tredegar. But anyway, let's not get too hung up on that. Some of the press reporting is a little loose at times in these days, as it is now. So a stabbing took place just outside the Millwall docks. Inspector Hawkins of K Division appeared to watch the case on behalf of commissioners. And the three foreign seamen who are listed as the perpetrators of the crime, the dastardly deed, shall we say, are three men, all Germans. So I'm going to try and pronounce their names correctly because the press reporting actually misspells this first man who would actually come back at the end of the story who'd actually do time for this. William Zampalier, he's billed here. I've also seen his name spelled Zampaline. William Zampaline, 20, a ship's carpenter. Ludwig Krauser, 17, an assistant engineer, and one Gottlieb Skiblo, 27, second engineer, all Prussians. There's a good description. Prussians, Germans in modern parlance, but these are Prussians, belonging to the steamship Lubenstein, now lying in the Millwall dock. They've been arrested and charged at the Thames Police Court with the willful murder of the deceased. And that is Mr. Frederick Swain of Tredegar. Now, putting the most simple, lot of reporting, so I'm going to try and keep it reasonably short. Basically, the three chaps from the John Bright, Swain, one John Bars, and one other not named, were drinking in the George Pub, which is obviously famous in Millwall history as the former headquarters of Mill Rovers and Mill Athletic for a long time. The George on Glengall Road. They were drinking in there on the night in question. They had about three or four beers, according to this report here. They then subsequently go to another pub, the Queen's Public House in Manchester Road. They had some more ale. And then back to the George after midnight for four more. So they've had a skinful, I would say. Certainly a skinful by my standards. Maybe, I don't know your standards, dear listener, but I'd say that's a fair night's drink. I wouldn't be much use to anybody after about 8 or 9 pints. I haven't done that in many, many years. They come back to the Mill docks. I imagine they're going to return back to their ship to sleep it off, where they chance upon the three Prussians, the three Germans, Krauser, Zampalier, as it's spelled here, and Gottief Skiblo. In the simplest of terms, a scuffle takes place. A blade is wielded by one of the Germans, and Mr. Swain falls to the ground, stabbed, and dies, leading to the arrest of the three Germans. Now, I love all these kinds of old school criminal reports. I mean, obviously, there's nothing new in this world, and there are no new jokes, and there are no new crimes, it seems, dear listeners. So, knife crime then from the docks, tough, hard areas. Surrey docks too, all the docks. You know this, I know this. Tough, hard areas breed tough, hard men. And the use of blades then was as prevalent, perhaps, as it is nowadays. Now, just to move the story on a little bit, I'm looking now at a newspaper, the West Somerset Free Press, dated January the 2nd, 1892. It's reported all over the place, this particular incident, stabbing affray at the London docks. The prisoners were again, the three Germans are now before the magistrate at the Thames Police Court. William Zampalien, 20, Ludwig Krauser and Gottlieb Schiblord, charged with feloniously killing Frederick Swain of Penarth, Tregar Penarth, by stabbing him in the neck. He was stabbed in the neck. They had representation from the German legation and quite an interesting amount of detail, loads and loads of detail of the night in question, which I find utterly, utterly fascinating. The three Englishmen, the three British sailors, shall we call them, are walking back to the docks to get back on their ship. The three Germans cast here as being sober, not drinking. The three Brits have had quite a lot to drink. And a fracas takes place at the gate docks, at the docks gate. Zampalien is reported to have said after the stabbing, I believe he's the knife wielder. Zampalien stabbed him, Swain, and called out to him, "You have got what you wanted." I almost read that in the kind of movie German accent, which I won't do. "You have got what you wanted." I nearly did it then, didn't I? This is near to the George. A doctor attended. That was Dr. Murray Leslie, who is the George, obviously, was the headquarters of Mill Athletic. And William Murray Leslie is interesting as the local doctor on the Isle of Dogs. He's also the first chairman of Mill Rovers Football Club, the very first chairman of the football club. He attended, but sadly Swain died. The upshot of this particular hearing is that Zampalien was judged to have been the man who did the deed. He used the knife. The other two Germans were not felt to be culpable and were bailed to be released. Zampalien was referred for trial. And in the spirit of a true detective novel, you want to know how this particular storyline finishes. Zampalien, the stabbing, the George, Dr. Murray, Leslie, all involved. I had to do a little bit of searching to find the inquest and verdict, but I did find it for you because I know you like this kind of thing. This is from the paper called the Globe, dated 1892. The jury returns a verdict of manslaughter, not murder, but manslaughter against William Zampalien. And the final point in the story being that he was sentenced to 18 years penal servitude, which would be, in those days, there was no treadmill. I did a little bit of reading as to what that would have meant. It would have meant rock breaking, hard labour on digging trenches and sites generally. Oakum picking may have still been going on, which is like fiddly kind of picking fibres from other fibres for 10, 12 hours a day. No laughing party. So Zampalien got 18 years of penal servitude. What became of him inside the Nick, no one really knows. Obviously, as a German national in 1891, with 18 years ahead of him, that may have taken him up to the outbreak of First World War. Who knows what became of him inside. There we are, stabbing affray at the Mill Docks, the George, East Ferry Road, and a Millwall figure, Dr. Murray Leslie, who attended the scene, all part and parcel of that. So I hope you found that as fascinating as I did. I hope I did it justice. It's quite difficult to pick through some of these old reports and make them flow because the language isn't written in the sensational style that we've all come to expect from our media nowadays. But wonderful story and a real insight into life on the island a long time ago, and yet somehow not so long ago at all. There we are, dear listeners. I hope you've enjoyed this little mishmash show. If you want to check out the Mill Supporters Club shop, the MSC Club shop, I'll stick a link in the show notes. Do have a look at our 2021 calendars that we've produced. We need to shift them. I'm hoping to try and get a donation together for some of the charities. So do log on and have a look. I beg you, do buy them, please. If nothing else, it will help you count down the days until the end of Tier 4. Let's hope it's not too long away. So there we are, dear listeners. That's the show today. Last one we'll do before this side of Christmas. But we will be back shortly after Christmas Day. Until then, have a very Merry Christmas. Have a peaceful holiday. Haven't got much choice because nowhere to go, nothing to do. But until after Christmas break, the listeners, thank you for listening. Arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Acton Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.